This is the official podcast. We are here today with episode 3 for February 6, 2012. I am your host, Justin Guthrow, a.k.a. J-Throw, and I'm joined here with my lovely co-host, a Mr. Robert Hamer, a.k.a. Bub.
Howdy, how's everyone doing? How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. Had some delicious Mexican food tonight and feeling quite grand.
All right, I had some Chef Boyardee ravioli for dinner.
Sounds fancy.
Yeah.
Sounds very fancy.
So, yeah, anyways, yeah, everyone, welcome to episode 3. Today's main topic for this podcast is Justin and I will be talking about digital copies of games versus physical copies of games and how game companies are starting to change things up a little bit and get into the digital world and stuff.
Not even just games, but movies and music
everything.
Too.
Yeah, everything.
Food.
Yeah, maybe food, yeah.
Yeah.
Porn, sex.
Yeah. How crazy would that be if you could just have something installed in your stomach and just download food straight into it?
Just download a corn dog, please. Who knows? Who knows? As always, in the cast, we will also talk on current games we're playing, as well as current affairs going on, and maybe even a little special treat for you guys at the end and have a second Raging with Bub, but that is to be determined.
Oh, Lord.
So, anyways, yeah, let's start off with some current games. I'll go ahead and let you take the lead on this.
Let's see. I've been playing a lot of Rayman Origins on PS3, and that game is amazing. Simply amazing. I love it. Looks great. Beautiful animation. Has some of the best background music for any game that I've played in probably the past year or so. When I just sit at the world menu for some of the stages, I can just kind of nod my head, swing back and forth, just how relaxing it is.
Well, there was even that time I drove by your house that one night and looked through your window and saw you dancing to this game.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I came upstairs and joined you in that dance.
Yeah, it's very... Okay, basically how, you know, the reason for the dance party is that how the game works is you play a stage and you have to collect these little yellow, like, fairy things. They're kind of like coins from Mario. So you have to collect these little, you know, fairy coin things. And if you collect 350 of them in the stage, you then get, you know, the gold medal. Hmm. And at the end of the level, you have this little tube that starts filling up with all the little yellow things that you collect. And then there's certain milestones. Like, you get a medal for 150. Then you get another medal for 300. Then you get the gold medallion for the 350. And if you hit the 350, the pop goes off the tube. Confetti starts shooting out all over the place. Spotlights and orbs. And it's just everyone starts clapping. And there's this crazy dance riff that just starts playing. And you can't help but just jump right into it and start dancing.
It's true. It's true. I've personally witnessed this music. And it just makes you want to dance.
Yep. I've gotten that medal about 10 times, maybe more at this point. And I still find myself dancing.
That's good.
Yeah, so really good music. Very fun. For about the first half of the game.
And I did see your Twitter feed last night.
Yeah, I've officially renamed Rayman Origins to Rage Man Origins.
Pretty clever.
Basically, how the game works is, you know, you start off with five worlds. Once you beat the fifth world, you then get access to the sixth world. But when you try to play the sixth world, these big fat fairies that you have to rescue in the other world say, oh no, you have to go back to the other levels and fight a boss in each one to allow you to access this world, because, surprise...
So you have to go back to the old worlds?
Kind of. Because, figure this, the sixth world is actually the tenth world, but you don't figure that out until you talk to the fat fairies and they go, oh no, you have to go back and fight the bosses in the other levels because we are out of power, blah, 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 wah, wah. And so... When you then go back to the world map, four more worlds open up simultaneously, and they're pretty much part two to all the worlds. Like, you got world one, which is the forest world, world two, which is like the desert, sky, music world, world three, which is the ice, fire, food world, and world four, which is your, you know, staple water world. And then there's basically a part two to all of them. You got more levels, and then at the very end, there's a boss. And the bosses can kind of be a pain in the ass. Because they're those bosses where basically you can't beat them on your first try because they move around, they squish you, and you have to learn how they move.
Right, so you got to do a couple of trial runs.
You got to do a couple of trial runs, and it gets very frustrating. It definitely tests your patience. So when you're doing those second set of worlds, some of the levels get very frustrating and really piss you off. And then you go back up to the 10th world, and that level just makes you feel like you're playing Super Meat Boy number 2. It's so frustrating. I think the second to last level, you played Mega Man.
Yeah.
You know, in Iceman's world and other worlds too, I guess, but it started in Iceman where they have those cubes that appear for like a second, and then you jump on it, and then you have to jump to the next cube before it disappears, and the next cube.
Right.
Right. Well, it has something like that in this level, and it is a real pain in the ass. Just like it was in Mega Man.
Yeah, I do remember.
So I'm almost done with the game. There's like a somewhat hidden 11th world that I am about to unlock, and then once I do that, I'll probably then have to fight, you know, the final boss, and then I'll be done with it. But it's a great game. I think it's a lot of fun, except for when it's really frustrating.
Right.
Looks great, sounds great, and I now understand why so many lists had that game on their top 10 of 2011. So, really solid. And I know the beat is coming out later this month. And yes. So to some of you who aren't sure which game to get, if you haven't played Rayman, I would definitely recommend it because it's got a lot of replay value. I put well over 10 hours into it and still have quite a bit left to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you have replay value, that's a good thing. I mean, the game can hold your interest for that long. That's always good.
Yeah, I know you were thinking about getting Uncharted Golden Abyss as your Vita title, and one guy, you know, I tweeted something yesterday about like how I'm excited for the Vita, and PlayStation retweeted it, and this one guy responded saying, oh, don't get too excited, you know, for the last 3 weeks mine's been collecting dust because I beat Uncharted. And so, you know, just goes to show you, don't go ahead and for your one game, if you can only get one game, don't let it be something that you're going to be done with in just a couple hours and has no replay value to it.
Right, right.
Otherwise, you pretty much just bought a $250, $300 system to sit in the corner and collect dust.
MP3 player, man.
Yep. So,
hey, one cool thing that I can't believe we forgot to mention up until this point is that Justin and I are doing the podcast in the same room right now.
Oh, yeah, the same room. I can see him. I can smell him.
And it isn't pleasant.
Yeah, it's all going on. The magic is here.
Yep. It is. It's happened.
It is happening. Yeah. In the Platinum Lair.
The Platinum Mansion, man.
What would you call this? Because like, would you call this the Platinum Den, the Platinum Cave?
On Foursquare, it's known as the Platinum Mansion.
The Platinum Mansion?
Yeah. Well, my old house in Paris was called Casa de Roberto on Foursquare.
No so. Platinum, no Casa de Platinimo?
Nope. I lived in Paris, so I gave it a name that suited it. Now I'm baller living in Oceanside, and which is part of the current affairs we'll talk about. Now I'm in the Platinum Mansion.
Yeah. I mean, you moved down here to Oceanside. You literally are about 5 minutes away from my house.
Yep.
The drive was super quick, and this neighborhood is nice.
Yeah.
It's gated, really nice houses. It's nice.
Thank you. I'm very happy. It's quite a step up from my old place.
It really is. I mean, not that you were living in a shack or anything last time. You know,
it's Paris.
Yeah, it was okay, but this is just wow. I mean, nice cozy big room here, lush carpet.
It's platinum, man. It's a platinum mansion.
In fact, I don't even know why I'm wearing my shoes when there is this soft carpet that my feet can be enjoying.
Well, I don't know either. I would, like I said, I'd love to weigh in on current games being played right now, but because of my recent move, I haven't really had the opportunity to play any games lately. I literally found out I got my new, because I started my new job in Carlsbad on Monday. I found out about that like a week and a half ago.
How's that going?
It's going good so far. Great. Yeah, very great. I'm loving it.
Doing a lot of computer stuff?
Yeah, programming and assembling and testing and all kinds of neat stuff. And loading up firmware and assigning MAC addresses and
stuff I know nothing about.
Yeah, it's fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you've been busy with real life.
Yeah, and I just found out my new place I'm going to move into Thursday night. Moved in on Saturday and Sunday, so everything's been kind of hectic right now. Also, I can't find my goddamn Xbox 360 controller for my PC anywhere, which is really pissing me off.
Ooh, yeah, because you're still kind of going through New Vegas.
Yeah, New Vegas. I saw Dead Space to play. The two Bioshocks are all just waiting there.
Yeah.
And God knows I'm not going to play with the keyboard and mouse.
Oh, yeah. You definitely want a controller for that stuff. Yeah. Aside from Rayman, I played some Dungeon Defenders, which is cool. It's very addictive. Basically, you know, you got four character classes. You have, you know, you have the melee knight, the ranged trap huntress, the monk, you know, who can heal teammates and everything, and then you have the wizard. You know, four staple classes, and how it works is you have a build phase. So you have this little dungeon, and there are certain areas where waves of enemies come through. So you have this amount of time to build your traps and defenses with the amount of resources that you have, and then you activate, you know, your crystal to start the combat phase, and then the waves and waves and waves of enemies start coming in, and it's up to your traps, your defenses, and your characters to go around and kill all these guys. And there's, you know, a couple hundred of enemies, and it's very time consuming, and it's fun. Your characters level up, you know, enemies drop gear, you have pets, a really high level cap. Lots of stuff, good replay value to it. Yeah, for some reason, you hate on it.
See, okay, the way you just explained it to me, the game sounds badass. The mechanics of it sound really cool.
It's very one of a kind.
The way it works sounds sick. I mean, it sounds like a cool game. But then you look at it, and you see the characters. They're like little tiny chibi kids walking around. It's more like, look at me, I'm slashing a sword. If this was Diablo style game where you're fighting demons and you're a big, you know, giant hunter or look like a monk, like I could see this game being really cool. But the way it looks to me is just like, wow, this looks so gay. I'm not playing this game. It looks like a little kid's
World of Warcraft. I think that's how you originally described it.
Well, not really. I mean, it's not like, well, I guess in a way the way it looks, but not the way it plays.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't know. I just feel like if it was reskinned to look more adult-like, I think this game it would be a lot cooler.
I think that you hate it because of how it looks, yet if I were able to get you to sit down and play a split-screen match with me, you may think differently about the game. Because it can be fun.
Oh, no. Like I said, the game itself sounds fun. The way you just described it sounds super badass.
Yeah.
But then like I said, you look at it, and it's like, oh, wow, I'm not going to play this game.
Well, I don't know. I mean, for me, one of my main New Year's resolutions was to cut down on my backlog, and I'm only just now starting February, and I've probably already added like four games to it to my backlog. And Dungeon Defenders was one of them, simply because it was 50% off. It's normally $15. It was like $7.50, and you know I've heard nothing but good things about it, so I just couldn't really pass it up.
You can't pass up a good deal. I'll definitely agree with you there.
Yeah, there's some. Oh, yeah, that was another thing that's going on right now. Is on Xbox Live, a game called Bastion is on sale for 50% off.
Bastion,
and that was another top 10 game for a lot of people for last year. It has really great music. I've listened to a lot of it online.
Hmm.
It's got a very nice artwork, and it's just supposed to be an all around really solid downloadable title. And, you know, I asked today on Twitter, it's like, yeah, you know, is this game worth it at this discounted price when I already have so many games as it is? And I had a couple people respond back to me saying, I think the better question is, why do you not already own it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's a lot of confidence in people's voices when they say that Bastion is the shit.
But, like, I have a feeling if you ask the same thing about Skyrim, you get the same answer.
Yeah,
because I don't know. I've never even heard this game Bastion, so I don't know what it's all about.
You also don't have an Xbox. I don't know if it's on Steam. It might be.
I don't know.
But yeah, thankfully, now that my sister, she actually just went out and bought Skyrim, so one of these days I might find myself playing it. But I don't know, because I have PlayStation Plus, and for the month of February, we're getting the Simpsons arcade game come back.
So cool.
Yeah, we're getting for free. We're getting Far Cry 2 for free. So, right there, there's two more games that I'll have at my disposal. Luckily, The Simpsons is more of a, you know, have your friends over and play things.
Hell
so.
Yeah, I can't wait to play that game, man.
Yeah, that'll be good.
It's going to be fun.
Probably have you, like Hunter, Davey over.
Yeah.
Nice, solid four-man group.
Be fun.
But yeah, so, just a lot of you know, game stuff to be looking forward to in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Very cool.
Yep.
Well, let's see. I guess we can go ahead and talk about this. We came up with an idea, kind of a cool idea of maybe once in a while releasing a bonus episode of the podcast, maybe in between when we normally launch one of the, you know, our regular shows. Basically, where we would be doing like a live feed while we play a game, and like the Simpsons arcade game would be one of them. So we'd have maybe all four of us over playing the game while we also record the podcast, just so we can go into, I don't know, just play it as we go kind of thing.
Play it as we go. That's how it'll be. Yeah. So we'll be talking about it while we play it.
Be a lot of fun.
You'll hear our frustrations.
Yeah. Frustration, our laughter, our funny jokes, our swearing.
Yeah.
It'll all be there. So yeah, that should be a lot of fun. Bonus episode. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
Yeah.
Also, on our next real episode, we have a surprise for you guys. You'll just have to wait and find out what it is, though.
We do?
Yeah.
Huh.
You know what it is.
I don't think I do. But what I do know is that if the word is pronounced pajamas...
Pajamas.
Yes. I remember talking to you about this before, and I want to talk about it again right now, is you think it's pronounced pajamas, right?
Yeah, pajamas.
I say it's pronounced pajamas.
Pajamas.
Yes. Okay.
Like a llama.
How can you not sound like more of a rich, fancy boy, you know, when you say, hey, I'm wearing my pajamas?
I feel like when you want to be rich and fancy, you say, where's my evening wear? Where's my bedroom wear?
Where's my pajamas?
Where are my pajamas?
That yes, sounds, exactly. Where are my pajamas?
That sounds like some fucking drug addict from Jersey. Where are my pajamas?
When you sound all muffled at the end.
Where are my pajamas?
Yes, where are my pajamas?
Where are my pajamas?
Pajamas.
I feel like if you put an English accent on anything, it makes it sound fancy. Where is my crack pipe?
I just received AIDS.
Oh, God. It's terrible. So, anyways, yeah, big surprise next episode. Should be a lot of fun.
Ooh, I think I know what it is. Are we going to be wearing pajamas while we do the podcast?
Hey, if we had it my way, we'd be wearing nothing while we do the podcast.
Oh, jeez.
That's just me.
Slippers?
Maybe. Three slippers each.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Moving on. So
right. Yeah, let's tackle this debate of right. Digital versus physical.
Our main topic: digital now, copies of games versus physical copies of games.
Now, reason why we're going to be talking about this tonight is Sony recently announced that digital copies of their PlayStation Vita titles will be 10% cheaper than their physical retail versions. So, you know, Uncharted Golden Abyss is going to be $49.99 if you go pick it up at Best Buy, Toys R Us, Walmart, wherever you want to get it. But if you should happen to buy it on the PlayStation Network, it'll be $44.99. So, you know, 10% is that... it depends, you know, okay... Why would you like to have a physical copy of a game over a digital copy?
Okay. It's kind of a loaded question. So I'm going to answer this way. Okay, I definitely think they're going the right way with making a digital copy of a game cheaper than a physical copy. For multiple reasons. And we talked about this earlier. But okay, with a physical copy of a game... Your game developers have to pay to put it on media, whether it be a card or a disc, whatever the hell they're using these days. Then they got to pay for packaging. Not only packaging, they got to pay to make the label for the game and for the box. Then they got to pay to package them all up in a big box. Then they got to pay a truck driver to load it on his truck. Then they got to pay the truck driver to drive it to the store. You know, and all this stuff. That's a lot of money. So you're telling me that 10% of that $50 game is all you're paying for all that, I call bullshit right there. So you're telling me that all that stuff costs only 10% of what the total cost of the game is.
That is what I'm telling you.
No. So that doesn't make any sense to me. So I feel like if you're going to buy a digital copy, because it pretty much costs nothing but server space, and then just keep copying and pasting it every time someone buys it, I feel like you should give it for less than 10%, or for more than 10% off. I feel like maybe 20% would be a good place to start.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And even then, you know, what's 20% of a $50 game? $10?
Yeah.
Okay, so even then, it's not a lot, but hey, it's more incentive.
I consider that to be a lot.
Yeah.
Like, to get a $50 game at $40 instead, that's not that bad.
So you got to think that they're saving money by selling you a digital copy of a game.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think they would even make more money on selling you a digital copy of a game,
so,
even at 20% off.
So you're saying that 10% is not enough.
10% is bullshit.
It's a good start, though.
It's
in the right direction.
It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah,
right.
Good start. Okay, well, 10% not being enough for you. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and play for the side of digital copies. Now, for me, I would say, hey, why would you want to have a physical copy when you could just download the game and carry it with you wherever you go? It's on your 32-gigabyte stick. It's always there. Boot it up whenever you want. You don't have to worry about juggling the disc or the cartridge, whatever you want. It's always there. And if you ever want to, you know, organize your games, you can have it on your laptop or your desktop or PS3. And, you know, you can have them all sorted in folders and all sorts of stuff. You can even back up the data. So really nice and convenient. Like, when you go digital, you have convenience on your side.
Also, if you lose a physical copy of a game, you're out. You're done. The game's over. You got to go buy another copy.
Exactly.
If you lose your digital copy, you just re-download it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So
that's definitely a plus.
Yeah. So why have a physical copy of a game, especially if it's going to cost, you know, 10% more than the digital counterpart? At least with the Vita.
Okay. Here's one way I'm looking at it. Okay. So say I go out and buy Uncharted for $50, physical copy.
Yeah.
So I could have bought it digitally and saved $5.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's say then I'm done playing Uncharted and I don't want the game anymore. I was pissed off, whatever. I don't want to play it anymore.
Right.
I can now take it to GameStop and sell it to them, and they might give me $15 for it. And that's pretty shitty, but hey, if they give me $15 for it, that's more than the $5 I would have got buying the digital copy, or the $5 I would have saved buying the digital copy, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, because that is a con when it comes to digitals, is that
you're stuck with the game.
Yeah, you can't resell it or anything. And I guess I'll go ahead and throw this pro for physical, is that when you have a physical game, you can lend it to a friend or you can borrow,
swap,
stuff like that. I mean, that has been around since, you know, games, movies, you know, since that was all, yeah, way back in the day.
Yeah.
But with a digital copy, you can't really do that. No. I mean, sure, it's possible, but it's a little difficult.
It's not as easy.
Yeah, instead of, you know, hey, man, let me swing by your place and pick up Uncharted 1.
Yeah, and I'll take your copy of Mod Nation Racers. Okay, cool, swapperoo, we're done.
Yep.
So, they each have their pros and cons. Like I said, I feel like it's definitely a step in the right direction, but it needs to be a bigger step before I'm going to completely jump ship to all digital.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What more can companies do to make you go to digital? Because obviously, a lot of people have been saying this for a while now, that it's only a matter of time until video games lose their physical format, and it's nothing but purely digital. Maybe it won't happen on the PS4, but maybe, you know, like the generation after that, they might just say everything is pure download. Like, if you don't have internet, then you're shit out of luck.
Yeah.
So what can companies do for you to make that transition, you know, easier?
Well, I feel like the only thing that's practical that they could do is just make it a higher percentage that you save buying a digital copy. Because it really wouldn't make sense for a company to say, yeah, we'll even offer a buyback program. Like, trade in the game when you're done. Well, what am I trading in? You already have a copy of the game, so why would you pay me money? You know, it wouldn't make sense for a company to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely can't happen. If they could make it easier to share the game, But then again, you know, then they're losing money and we get into the whole copyright shit again.
Yeah.
So it's like I really don't know what else they can do except make it a better deal.
Better deal?
Yeah.
Well, what about convenience? I mean, do you think it's already, like, the network and how you download games is already convenient enough as it is?
If you have an internet connection, yes. Maybe they could set up something in stores like Best Buy where you can go in and buy a digital copy of the game there and download it to your memory stick. That way, for your people who don't have internet, You know, you just go, you say, hey, I'd like to buy a copy of Mod Nation Racers. You hand the guy your memory stick, he plugs it into a computer, downloads it, rings you up, you pay him, and hands you back your stick and go, here, Mod Nation Racers is now on your memory card. Boom, you're out the door. You don't need any internet connection. You have the game.
As far as I know, no retailers do that, and I've always wondered why, because as you know, I used to run on dial-up for a very long time.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought that was, you know, really bizarre. Like, man, what are you doing? You're still on dial-up. And, you know, it's kind of weird, even at this day and age in 2012, to say that there are people out there who are on dial-up still. And there are households out there that don't even have internet at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
So to those people who don't have internet because they just simply don't want it or they can't afford it or their parents won't get it for them, you know, they have those devices or, you know, future tense.
Yeah.
You know, like they will have those devices that are digital only, but what are they going to do? So the retail, you know, the companies will lose customers in that sense unless, like he said, they introduce some sort of, hey, bring your thing here, download it here, and go ahead and take it home.
And see, that might have to be what GameStop has to do, because if you lose all physical copies of games, stores like GameStop are probably going to go out of business.
Yeah.
Just like with Blockbuster and Hollywood Video. When movies and TV shows started being digital, you know, digital broadcast, you know, Blockbuster isn't completely out of business, but it's definitely a lot smaller than it used to be.
Yeah.
And I think they're on their way out. But, of course, they did jump on the Netflix bandwagon of doing digital stuff, so they might keep that division and close down all physical versions of the store.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, yeah, I that's the only way I could really see GameStop maybe even staying in business is selling new and used systems and setting up like this game buying station like I just talked about.
I remember reading about a month ago or so that they're currently developing a gaming tablet under their name.
Yeah, the GameStop gaming tablet. I need to read up on that.
Yeah, so it'll be very interesting because, you know, when you got other stuff that's currently dominating the tablet market, like the iPad and stuff, you know, why would anyone want to just go pick up one from GameStop?
From GameStop. Unless it was priced right.
Yeah.
Because you look at an iPad and I don't know the exact price, but I know they're expensive. And if you want a knockoff...
I believe it's like $500.
Yeah. And if you want a knockoff brand, yes, they are cheaper, but normally they're not as good as the iPad.
Yeah.
Nowhere near. So it'd have to be a really cool system at a moderate price that people wouldn't mind paying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely have to look into that a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I have a pretty big physical library, but ever since I got my PS3, I think it was last June, I now have, you know, like well over 60 or 70 titles, actually, that are just on my PS3, digital games.
Digital whether copies.
Yeah, whether they're minis or PlayStation 1 games, PS3 games. So many games are just right there that I can just thumb through, and it is so nice and convenient to not have to get up, eject the disc, put in the new disc. It's all right there. All I have to do is just press X. Bam,
all
the game thumbs, the man. Game boots up. So I never thought that I would actually, you know, say that I prefer digital over physical, and I'm still not quite ready to say that. But
yeah.
But the PS3 and just the ease of obtaining, you know, new software has really pushed me in that direction. So when the time does come of digital only, I won't be as, you know, against it as I once was.
Right. Well, even if you look at me gaming on my PC through Steam, that's all digital copies.
That's true.
Every game I own for Steam is digital. But, you know, I don't know. It's a little different for PC, I think.
Yeah.
Than it is for a console.
So, yeah. I don't know.
Me neither.
Yeah. So, I know last week we introduced a new segment, Raging with Bub.
Yeah.
Because I know you had a lot of stuff angering you back then, but I know you've been really busy with moving and everything, so anything got you kind
of... You know, during the whole course of this cast, I've been trying to think of something that I could rage about, and honestly, I've got nothing.
So much stuff pisses you off, though.
I know.
Even if it's me.
I know. But yeah, I don't want to bash you on air, though.
Yeah. Kid, I know I told you that I wasn't going to talk about this on the cast, but I'm bringing it up
because
I know it's going to make you upset, and I think it's funny as shit. Okay, I just got here.
Well, this is no. episode 3 of the official podcast.
No.
Everyone
no,
have a nice not. Night, and no, we'll see you not. Next week.
I just showed up, and this guy right here was flipping through his folder, showing me funny pictures and all sorts of stuff. And I just happened to notice a document that said birthday list. And I said, oh, is that a list where you keep track of everyone's birthday? Because that's actually a pretty good idea. And he said, no. It's like, oh, okay, is it a list of things you want for your birthday this year? No. So he opens it up, and it's a list of everyone who has wished him a happy birthday from the previous birthday
on Facebook.
So that he knows who to wish happy birthday to this year.
So basically, yeah, I cross-reference the list and say, oh, this guy didn't wish me happy birthday, so I'm not going to wish him. Although, I'm going to admit, I haven't used that in a long time.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I haven't referenced that list in forever.
That is so funny to me. And then you even have a sub-list called the shit list. Where you put all the people where you're just like, oh, wow.
Okay, but here's the case, okay? Me and my old roommate have the exact same birthday. Day, month, year, I'm like 3 hours older than him. And one of our old coworkers commented on his page saying, hey, happy birthday, Q, and didn't say it to me. And that's just like, wow, really? You're doing that on purpose for some fucked up reason, I don't know why.
Right on so the shit list.
You've made the shit list. Boom, you're on. And once you're on the shit list, you don't come off the shit list.
So she's never getting a happy birthday ever
again?
Never
getting a happy birthday from me.
Oh my gosh. I still can't believe you actually have a list, and it's this huge list of all these people who wish you a happy birthday. It was a pretty impressive list, actually.
Hey, you're on the list, kid.
I know, I just saw.
You're on the list.
Right in the middle.
Justin Nigg.
Hopefully it's not alphabetical, because if it is, then I'm very embarrassed.
Why would it be? Oh, no.
Because I'm sort of in the middle towards the bottom half. No. I should have been the first one to say happy birthday to you.
Well, you weren't.
Oh, man. Yeah, so that's just... Oh, man, birthday list.
I guess that's it, then, right?
I guess that's it. Birthday list, man.
Birthday list pajamas.
Yeah, it's actually getting pretty late right now. I'm going to have to head out of here. 5-minute drive home. That is super nice. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And as soon as I leave, you'll probably hop into your pajamas.
Yeah. So if you guys take anything away from this podcast tonight, take away the pajamas versus pajamas. Take away your take on digital versus physical copies of games.
Yes.
All right, guys. This is Justin.
Oops, and this is Bub.
Wow. Thank God I'm not Justin. Otherwise, I'd say pajamas.
All right. I think we're done here.
All right. This is Bub.
And this is Justin.
Good night, everyone. And sleep tight in your pajamas.